This shiur is dedicated to the refuah shleima of Chaim Yisocha ben Chaya Moshkat, our dear friend Chaim Feigenbaum, and also to the refuah shleima of Ben Zion ben Rochel, a choshev etayri younger man. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should send them both a refuah shleima min ha-shamayim, l'ramach evareihem, shesagideihem, and they should have many, many years of simcha together with their wonderful families. So the topic we will be discussing today is a fascinating sugya and a major discussion throughout the ages. I think its most important source in this week's parasha. When Yaakov finally, ultimately meets his son Yosef HaTzadik, and Yaakov is overtaken with simcha and hodiah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yaakov says, O miso hapam, achrei ra'isi ponecho, ki oitchu chai. And Rashi brings from the Medrash, Yaakov Avinu says, I thought I will have to die twice, bo'olam hazeh bo'olam haba, and I thought that a Kodesh Baruch will demand from me your death, your blood, because I caused your demise by sending you to see how your brothers are doing. But now that I see you're alive, then Baruch Hashem, I will only have to die once. That is the Perish of Chazal and the Medrash on Yaakov Avinu's statement in the Pusak Amuso Hapa'am. What seems obvious from this Rashi, if Yosef would have perished in the Shlichus of Yaakov by fulfilling Yaakov's mission, then Yaakov would bear responsibility for Yosef's demise. And this is an interesting question presented to one of the great Rishonim, the Mahari Vail. Chuvas Mahari Vail Simon Kuf Chof Hei. The Mahari Vail deals with the story of two individuals, Reb Izliel and Reb Ezra. Reb Izliel sent Reb Ezra on a mission, and Ezra went in the Shlichus of Yekusiel, not Izliel, but rather Yekusiel. Yekusiel sent Ezra on his way. Ezra perished, and Rabbi Yekusiel asks whether he needs tikkunei tshuva. Does he bear responsibility? And the Mahari Vail brings an interesting source to deal with this question. Not our parsha, but rather the Gemara Sanhedrin of Tzadikei. Sanhedrin of Tzadikei, Chazal say that a Kodesh Baruch Hu told David Melech Yisrael, Ad matai yihyeh avoin zeh tamun biyadcha? How long will this aveira be concealed, be in your lap? Ad mosai yehi oven zeh tamun biyadcha? Which oven, which aveira, which transgression? The death of Achimelech, the destruction of Noiv Ira Koyanim, the downfall of Doeg Huadoimi, and the ultimate demise of Shaul HaMelech and his three children. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu steveya David. David didn't directly kill any of those, but in a way, in a very indirect manner, David was ultimately the cause of all that tragedy, of all that sorrow, and therefore David bared responsibility. That is what we learn in Sanhedrin Tzadikei, and the Mahari Vail argues that in the same way, Yekusiel doesn't bear direct responsibility. He didn't have any bad intentions while sending Ezra on his way. He definitely didn't cause him any hurt directly, but he bears responsibility in a way, in the way that David bared responsibility on all the tragedy of Achimelech, Shaul, Doeg, and Noiv Ir HaKoyhanim. So this is the first source in which we find the question of a Shaleach and a Shaliach. When the Shaliach was hurt, killed, what is the degree of responsibility that the Shaleach bears? One of the great Achroinim, a few hundred years after the Mahari Vail, was the Tzemach Tzedek. Tzemach Tzedek Simen Vav deals with a similar story. I think the story in Tzemach Tzedek is a man sent a young boy on a certain mission. I think he was sent on a business mission, and it was a rainy day. He crossed a bridge, one of those little bridges that we find in the suburbs, in the woods, a bridge with no railing. and the boy slipped, he fell into the river, and he drowned, he died, and the person sending that boy on the errand, Nafshoi b'sheilosi, does he bear responsibility? And the Tzemach Tzedek brings the Medieval. He argues with a similarity to David HaMelech and Nov Ir HaKoyanim, but the basic point that the Tzemach Tzedek makes is there would be a difference between a mission that the Shaliach does just out of good faith and friendship, doing a favor to the Shaliach, or a business mission in which he is being paid. If it's a business mission and the Shaliach is being paid, he bears sole responsibility. That's part of his parnasa. People take upon themselves a certain risk. In our modern terminology, we define it as a calculated risk. But some of our parnasa endeavors are more hazardous than others. A builder that has to climb the scaffolds, or once upon a time people climbed very tall trees to pluck their fruit, or fishermen. Sometimes there's a stormy ocean, and nevertheless the fishermen are out there taking a certain risk, a calculated risk. So the Tzemach Tzedek's argument is, if that is his parnasa, then the person sending him on his way bears no responsibility. That is the basic argument of the Tzemach Tzedek. And throughout the ages, many Gedolim deal with similar questions. And in today's Shias, we're going to have a few stories. Not all of these stories have a happy end. I'm sorry about that. Some of them are frightening stories, but these stories are part of the halachic process and the halachic discussion. So, we have mentioned source number one, Maharival. Source number two, Tzemach Tzedek, who differentiates between a situation in which the messenger does a favor or he is on a business mission and that is part of his parnosa. Chuvis Maharashal, Simen Tzadik Vav, the great Rav Shlomo Ashkenazi 400 years ago, one of the most important halachic sources. So Chuvis Maharashal, Simen Tzadik Vav, there's a story about a Jew that was on a ship or a boat on a business mission. And one of his helpers was a young Jewish boy. And that boy was a real tomboy, a wild kid, Yodei Bekol V'Yad Kol Bo. That's an expression that in the Torah we find on Yishmael, not on a Jewish boy, but that was the Metzius. That boy was really wild, starting up with everyone, and he brutally hit a Gentile boy. So the Goyim that were on that boat decided they're going to do away with this lad, and they told his master, whose name was Moshe Yitzchak, if you don't punish that boy, we will, and that'll be far worse. So Moshe Yitzchak was chasing that boy just to catch him. And as we can imagine, the young boy outran the old man, and he couldn't catch him. So Moshe Yitzchak asked a young guy, you run after him, catch him, and bring him to me because I want to punish him. And his intentions were good because he preferred punishing that Jewish boy and not giving him to the Goyim, they might kill him. So the guy was chasing after the Jewish boy and he ran away and he slipped and he fell into the water and he drowned. And Moshe Yitzchak came brokenheartedly to ask, does he need tikkunei tshuva? Let me just explain the concept of tikkunei tshuva. The Maharival, when he proves from the Gemara and Sanhedrin that the Shoileach bears responsibility, he suggests that the person should fast 40 days. And he should also give tzedakah to the orphans, to the yesoimim. There's a concept of tikkunei tshuva brought twice in the Ramo and Shulchan Aruch. First, Hilchas Shabbos Shin Lamed Daled, and secondly, in Hilchas Nidah Siman Kuf Pehei. In both these sources, the Ramo brings that if a person, lo aleinu, was Machal Shabbos or Boyel Nidah, he needs to fast 40 days. So the basic tikkun is 40 days fasting, but sometimes it becomes far more difficult and harsh than merely fasting 40 days. In our times, we are used to comfort, so fasting 40 days seems so difficult to us, but once upon a time that was one of the easier decrees to come by. Anyway, so the Mashal comes up with a new argument, and the Mashal says, if we do accept the ruling of Mahari Vayam, and we do place responsibility on the Shorleach, this case would be different because the boy brought his demise upon himself with his behavior, which was totally unacceptable. And first of all, he shouldn't have started up with everybody. He shouldn't have hit, and he shouldn't have been violent. Secondly, he shouldn't have run away. And if you do run away, you have to watch your step. And therefore, because what ultimately happened, the ultimate tragedy was brought about by the behavior of the person that was hurt, that died, there is no responsibility upon the person that was chasing him. That is the argument of the Maharshal. In the same generation, another of the great Gedolim was Maharam Melublin. We know the Maharam from an Asperas Shalashas, but there's also Shalas Chuvis Maharam Melublin, which is an extremely important halachic work. Chuvis Maharam Melublin, Simen Mem Dalad. There is another story, which isn't entirely clear to me, but what it seems to be is this. There was a Rav sitting in Beis Din, and they passed judgment on a young person. Obviously, the Maram doesn't say what the judgment was, but the psak was difficult. It wasn't a good psak for that youngster. His father, or another family relative, I do not recall precisely the details, but one of his relatives came to the Rav's house to see the Rav to discuss the issue and try to mellow the verdict. The Rav, looking out of his window, saw the man coming to his house, and he was terrified because he thought the man is coming to hurt him or to cause him harm. So he schlepped a big, heavy box and shoved it to the door. The person shouldn't be able to come in. And while hysterically preparing to save himself, obviously he fell, he was hurt, and ultimately he died. So the person that came to visit the Rav, with no bad intentions, asked whether he needs tikkun tshuva, because in a way he caused the Rav's demise and the family's tragedy. And the Maharal and the Maharam Lublin goes more or less in the footsteps of the Marshal, even though they were in the same generation. The Maharam Lublin quotes the Marshal, and in the same way he says, the Rav harmed himself by his hysterical reaction, which was totally unnecessary, and the person that merely came to talk to him didn't do anything extraordinary, and therefore he bears no responsibility. So the Maharal, the Maharam and the Marshal both have a similar argument, similar approach, that it depends who is the main cause of tragedy. And because in those two stories, the person that ultimately was killed brought about his own demise by I would say improper conduct or exaggerated reactions, therefore there is no responsibility upon the person that caused these tragedies. I just want to make one comment, which for me is a bit difficult to accept this chiddush, because the Mari Vayel bases the entire concept on the Gemara Sanhedrin. David HaMelech was reprimanded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Achimelech, Nov Ira Kohanim, Aliyad Honitrad Doegu Adoimi, Aliyad Khan Hegu Shaul Vishloshid Banav. I don't know whether everybody listening to us today is familiar with the story of Achimelech and Nov Ira Kohanim. It is related in Shmuel Aleph, I think Parsha Chof Aleph. David is fleeing Shaul's wrath. Shaul is after David. He wants to kill him. David is running away. And he comes to Achimelech. Achimelech asks him, where are your lieutenants? Where are your people? How come you're alone? So David doesn't want to tell Achimelech he's running away from Shaul. So he tells Achimelech, I'm on a secret mission. And this mission is so secret, I couldn't let anybody in, and therefore I am alone, totally incognito. So Achimelech asked David, how could I be helpful? David says, I need a kikar lechem, I am hungry, and I need a weapon, because I was in such a rush to get going, I left my sword at home. So Achimelech tells David, the only weapon I have in my house is the cherev, the sword of Goliath. Goliath was killed by David, the great hero of the Pelishtim. And Achimelech gives David cherev Goliath, and that is the most potent weapon that was the greatest sword built at the time. And then David thanks Achimelech, and he goes on his way to rally his forces and to stand against Shaul. Doeg Waidomi witnessed the encounter between David and Achimelech. He went back to Shaul, and he said that Achimelech is cooperating with David against you, conspiring against you. And then Shaul kills Achimelech and destroys the entire city of Achimelech, which is north of Ir HaKohanim. Ultimately, Doeg was punished, and Shaul died with his children. And David bears responsibility for all that transpired. So Nov and Achimelech did nothing wrong to bring upon themselves their tragedy, but Doeg said Lashon Hara about David to Shaul. Shaul was out to kill David, so they definitely brought about their demise and their punishment. Nevertheless, David in a way bears ultimate responsibility, and this seems to contradict what the Marshal and the Maharam are Mechadish. So this is an interesting observation. If we go on to additional sources, I think one of the most important ones is Shuvas Yad Eliyahu. The Yad Eliyahu was Rav of Lublin more than 300 years ago. The Sefer was first printed exactly 300 years ago in Shnas Tov Ayin Beis. Today we are in Tov Shin Ayin Beis. In Siman Kof Ches, there is another story, probably story number 5. I don't recall how many of these we've had today, but that is a real bad one, a real tragic one. There was a person that set out on his way to the market. Once upon a time, many, many Jews had their panosa from the Yerid, HaYeridim. Twice a year, there was a great market, and people came from near and from far to sell whatever they had. And this Jew was on his way to the marketplace, and he had two young boys who were his helpers, his mishamshim. On the way, they encountered a terrible blizzard, a snowstorm. It was terribly cold, freezing, and a very heavy snow, and they just turned around and rushed back to make it before they'll be stuck in the storm. But this Jew was so reckless and so bad that he insisted that one of his helpers presses on to get to the market. And that young boy cried and pleaded with him, you know, I'm afraid, it's a terrible danger. You're going back home, so why don't take me back home? And he insisted, you're being paid, I want you to press on, and you just go on your way. That boy went, and then he stayed at a motel. Ultimately, he froze to death, and his body was found when the storm subsided. And the question was whether the person that sent that boy, regardless of danger, needs tikkuni tshuva. And we find an interesting argument between the Shoyel, the person that turned to the Yad Eliyahu, to the Rav of Lublin with this question, and the tshuva of the Yad Eliyahu. But to make a long story short, or to make a long tshuva short, the Yad Eliyahu naturally quotes the Marival. He is the first and most important source. He goes into a lengthy discussion. He supports the opinion of the Marival. In this drastic case, one would guess that more responsibility rests upon the person that in a totally reckless manner sent the young boy to his death. Another interesting tshuva is in Noida B'Yehuda. Noide Biyehuda Simen Lamed Dalad Orachayim Mahadura Kama. First Chelek Orachayim Simen Lamed Dalad. Noide Biyehuda deals with another incident. An old man came to buy Schoira, and he was on his way once again to the market to sell. The wife of that elderly person pleaded with the person that was selling. He was a big retailer, and I'm not even sure I know what a retailer is. He sold to Sochem. So his wife, the old man's wife, plead with the Sochem, don't give him Schoira because he's feeble, he's old, he's ill, and it's a dangerous way. There's great danger on the way, I'm afraid, for his health. Don't give him merchandise. But nevertheless, the old man plead, and obviously he was a very respected customer, so the retailer gave him merchandise. He took the stuff and went out on his way, and he never got back. He died on the way, and the person that gave him the merchandise, he was the one to ask the Shaila, does he bear responsibility? And the Noide Biyehuda comes up with a new argument, and he says, the initiative wasn't of the person giving the merchandise, but rather the old man came on his own. It is his own private business, and therefore that has nothing to do with the question of a shaliach and a mishaleach. He was the one that asked for the merchandise, he was the one that paid for the merchandise, and he wasn't the messenger, and therefore no responsibility bears on the person that gave him that merchandise. Nevertheless, the Noide Biyehuda says he needs some tikkun, and he suggests that he fast 3 days, Bahab, Sheni, Chamishi, Vasheni, and he gives some financial support to the family of that person. What I see as a very basic approach in many of these great Torah authorities is, on one hand, not to be machmir yosim edai. After all, we're dealing with a very indirect manner of causing harm to another person with no bad intentions, and therefore the general approach is to be makel, but on the other hand, because of the terrible, terrible consequences of taking the life of a person, almost all the achronim, even when they're noite lekula, do suggest some tikkuni tshuva. So before I reach the crux of the matter, I want to make a few comments. One comment is, the Marivayel Pius from David HaMelech, I am surprised that none of these great Torah giants brings the source of this week's parsha, the pasuk in which we started this year, because I think that is far more similar to the subject matter than the Gemara regarding David and Nov Ir HaKohanim and Achimelech, because Yaakov sent Yosef on his way. Yaakov was the shaleach, Yosef was the agent. He had a mission to fulfill, and this is mamish the same story as the Marivayel. So I'm surprised that the Marivayel, Semich Tzedek, the Marshal, the Maram Lublin, all these great Gedolim don't quote the most basic and important source. But the point I want to make regarding both sources, David HaMelech and Yaakov Avinu, is the Gemara says in Yevomis Kuf Chof Alaf Omed Beis, regarding the pasuk Usvivov Nisaro Ma'oid, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Medakdekim Svivav Kechut HaSahara, Dafka the greatest giants, the Oves HaGdoshim, Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was medakdek with them more than with any other person. So one could argue it is only because of the greatness of David HaMelech that HaKadosh Baruch Hu demanded the blood of Achimelech and Nov and all the others. We cannot prove from David HaMelech that each and every individual would bear this same responsibility. And if that is correct regarding David, Kal v'chomer, ben beno shel Kal v'chomer regarding Yaakov Avinu, described in Medrash as Bechir Shabov, as the greatest of the three patriarchs, the three greatest of the three of us. So the fact that Yaakov Avinu was afraid that Yosef's blood would be on his hands doesn't mean that we would judge each and every simpleton in the same manner. That is one comment. The second comment I wish to make is more basic, and it is the halachic comment. What are we dealing with in all these sugyas? So most of these gedolim deal with questions in which Reuven sent Shimon on his way, Shimon died on his way, does Reuven bear responsibility? The Avnei Nezer, Simon Tav, Ayin, Ches. Dealing with a similar question, but the Avnei Nezer is always surprising. He's always original. He was such an ilui. The Avnei Nezer deals also with a person that had a helper, and the helper was a young boy, and he was riding a horse, taking merchandise on that horse, and the horse went wild, and he started to run, and obviously the boy wasn't much of a cowboy, and he didn't really know how to control a horse, and he fell off the horse, and he was trampled by the horse, and he died. Does the Balabos bear responsibility? And the Avnei Nezer brings some of the sources we quoted, primarily the Maharival, and he gives his interpretation. He says the question is regarding the concept of Shlichus Shel Adam Kemoisai. Shlichus Shel Adam Kemoisai, does that mean that it's Mamish Kemoisai, and therefore it is as if the old man took the young boy, sat him on the horse, sat together with him on the horse, and directly brought about the boy's death? And in the same vein, all the other stories, because of the concept of shlichus, and because Chazal say shlichus shel adam kemoisai, therefore it is considered as if he directly brought about the other man's death or harm. And therefore, the Avnei Nezer differentiates between a situation in which the person was hurt on his way to fulfill the mission, while he still is a shaliach, or a situation in which he was hurt on his way back after mission accomplished. And at that stage, he no longer has a din of shaliach, and therefore no responsibility rests upon the mishaliach. That is the understanding and an interpretation of the Avnei Nezer. But I totally reject that understanding, because we must once again be aware that the basic source of the Maharival has nothing to do with shlichus, but rather with responsibility on David Melech Yisrael for the destruction of Nov, Ir HaKohanim, the death of Achimelech and Shaul. That has nothing to do with shlichus. So I think the basic question has nothing to do with the concept of shlichus, but rather, what is the degree of responsibility when a person brings about harm, damage, or death to another person with no bad intentions and in an indirect manner? It's even less than groma. It's a groma rechoiko. It's a very distant groma. Is there responsibility? And therefore, my opinion is that we have to deal with every case in its own individual details. Are we dealing with negligence? Are we dealing with gross negligence? You know, in modern legal terms, these are very well known terminology. Sometimes tragedies happen in a way we could not foresee and definitely would not expect. If a person sends somebody on his way and then there's a terrorist that blows himself up, which cannot be foreseen, how could a person possibly know or take any precautions? In that case, I would say no responsibility should rest upon the person who is the shaleach. But in some of the cases, you know, when you send a boy on a horse, you should check out whether the boy is an experienced rider. I think the Tzemach Tzedek deals with a question. A person sent a boy on his way and he slipped off a bridge. It's a rainy day. If you know the bridge and it has no rails, then you shouldn't have sent him. The most drastic case is the one of the person that encountered a blizzard and nevertheless, in a totally reckless and achzoriastic way, he insisted that the boy goes on. So when we're dealing with pshia, with gross negligence, that definitely should be a great deal of responsibility on the person that in a reckless manner brought about the demise of another person. But when we're dealing with cases which we would define as a oines gomer, then we should relate differently. And I was happy to notice that that actually is the opinion of two of the great sources which I quoted, the Yad Eliyahu and the Tzemach Tzedek. However, this is a Gemara in Bava Basra Kufyutes. Megalgal Hazchus al yedei Zakai, Megalgal Hachoivo al yedei Chayav. And this Gemara would seem to argue, even though he bears no direct responsibility, the tragedy struck in a totally unexpected manner, and therefore he has no avada. However, a person should ask himself, why did this happen to me? So we should take that as a token, as a siman min hashamayim, that I need to repent, I need to rectify something in my past. And in that way, a certain degree of responsibility should be put upon the shoulders of the person that in an indirect way brought about the demise of another person. The most common way these questions occur in our modern world is car accidents. And some time ago, a young boy, a wonderful yeshiva boy, came to see me, and he was driving a car with a whole bunch of yeshiva boys. There was an accident, two boys were killed. The driver was devastated, spiritually, morally, he was very depressed. And no wonder, two of his friends died in that car accident. According to the police, he was not to blame, but nevertheless, he had a terrible feeling and he came to see me. And first of all, I encouraged him, you know, if the police say that you drive as good as you could and you were not to blame, you should see this as a gezeirah shemayim on one hand. But on the other hand, after all, this happened to you. You were sitting at the steering wheel, and in the way Chazal say, Megalgal Hachoyv Al Yedei Chayav, you should do something. And I suggested that he says a few additional prokom of Tehillim every day, that he learns for the Ilui Nishom of the boys that died in that terrible accident. He gives a little bit of tzedakah, something that would not cause stress. And L'chaper Avoin, V'hu Racham Yechaper Avoin. Once an Israeli army officer came to see me, and he was also very, very distressed. He sent a platoon on a mission against terrorists infiltrating the borders of Israel, and two of his soldiers were killed in that operation. And this officer, as many officers in the IDF today, was really a Yirei Shemayim and a wonderful young man. And he came to ask whether he needs some tikkun, and in that case I said, you bear no responsibility for many, many reasons. First of all, this is war, and in war sometimes there are casualties. It's inevitable. You took every precaution possible. There was no negligence whatsoever, and those young soldiers weren't your shlichim. You are not the shaleach. You didn't do anything for your personal benefit. This case is different than all the other instances we spoke about in today's shiur. The officer didn't send anybody for his own personal good or benefit. He and the soldiers all were shlichim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shlichim of Klal Yisrael. They all did their best and their utmost to be mekayim the mitzvah of Melchemes Mitzvah, and therefore no responsibility rests upon the shoulders of the officer. But nevertheless, in a similar feeling as I have expressed before, I told that officer, try to say a few kapitlach tilim every day for the ilui nishoma and vahu rachum yechaper avon. So we have brought many sources dealing with a very interesting and basic question, which has a source in this week's parsha. I just want to fill in and say, In Dina Mominis we find a very similar discussion, twice in Choshe Mishpot, Kuf Ayin Vav, Sif Memches, Kuf Peches, Sif Vav. And these two Sifim in Choshe Mishpot deal with monetary issues, not with the concept of Kapora and Tshuva and Tikkun, but rather with monetary questions. When a person sent a Shaliach on a business deal, or whatever it is, and on the way he was taken into custody. Is the Shaleach Chayev Livdoisoi? Does he have to pay the ransom to get him out of captivity? Or, in a similar question, the person was robbed and his personal money was taken away. Does the Shaleach bear responsibility? The Remo in Siman Kuf Ayin Vav, Sif Memches brings that this is a machlokes between the Rishonim, the Marik on one hand, the Mordechai on the other hand, and the same question is found in Siman Kuf Peches. The Mechaba says that the Shalech is Poto, the Ramo says Ayen, Mashikatavti b'Siman Kuf Ayin Vav, and the Sma explains that the Ramo means to say that this is a machlokes between the Rishonim. And in this case, as well in our previous discussion, some poskim, including the Ramo, differentiate between a shutuf, in which the person that went on his way also had his personal benefit. You know, it's his business, his profit, his pay. And in that case, he bears sole responsibility. But if he was doing a favor to the shaleach, then the Shaleach should be a responsibility, and that brings us back to the similar svara of the Tzemach Tzedek regarding Tshuva and Kapor. In Choshe Mishpat, this is a very major discussion, and we don't really have the time right now to go into it, maybe at some other opportunity. So we have discussed a very interesting topic, and I think one of the more important sources of this question is, as I made clear in this week's parasha. So today is Zeis Chanukah, the last day of Chanukah. Yesterday night we actually lit the last candles, and whenever we say goodbye to such great days, days of glory, we always have to try to take something along. What are we left with? What did Chanukah leave us with? Hasidim have a minig, the last day of Sukkot, we say goodbye to the sukkah, so we eat in the sukkah, and then there's a tefillah to say, and we ask, Yirotzim shahamalochim hayoytzim min ha-sukkah, min ha-lulav, min ha-esed, yitlavu imanu. They should accompany us when we leave the sukkah and come back into our homes. And I say, Yirotzim shahamalochim hayoytzim min ha-lulav, min ha-esed, they should stay with us. So, what are those malochim? Many times I quoted the Sefer HaRokeach in Siman Reish Chof Hei. He says that the 36 Neiros Chanukah, Mahadra Mena Mahadra and Armad Leklamed Vav Neiros, coincide with 36 hours that the Or HaGonuz was Mishamesh Bo'ilim before it was concealed. Chazal speak about the Or HaGonuz. Vayomar Elokim Yehi Or Veyehi Or. And only at a later stage does the Pasuk say, Yu Ma'olois Berukia. So the original light didn't originate from the sun. It was an independent and beautiful light. That light was Nignaz. And that light shines in the Neiros Chanukah. And therefore, Lamed Vav Sha'ot She'or HaGonuz Shemesh Ba'olam Hem Keneged Lamed Vav Neiros Chanukah. The basic source that the Or HaGonuz served the world 36 hours is in Yerushalmi and Masechet Brachos Daf Samach. Reb Pinchas Mekoras, one of the great disciples of the Baal Shem Tov, says there's another 36. Most of us would instinctively say, oh, Lamed Vav Tzadikim. No, he doesn't mean Lamed Vav Tzadikim, he means the Lamed Vav Masechtas. Because the Or HaGonuz shines not only in Neiros Chanukah, it shines primarily in the Torah. Where was that Or hidden? Where is it to be found? Segal Machan Ephraim, a disciple and a grandson of the Baal Shem Tov, brings in Parshas Vayero that he heard from his great Zayda, that the Aragonas was concealed, hidden in the Torah. Rav Chaim of Elazhin says the same in his introduction to Shnois Eliyahu from the Gaon and Mishnayos, and also in Shar Aleph in Nefesh HaChaim. For whom was that or that light hidden? Medrash Tanchuma says, Amelei Torah, Tanchuma Parshas Noach. The or was concealed, Amelei Torah, Biyom Vebalayla Shebizchutan Ha'olam Kayam. And that is actually a beautiful Zoya in Parshas Truma. The Zoya says that the or was Nignaz, but it wasn't entirely concealed. If that or would be entirely concealed, this world could have no existence. Wherever there's a person that's Omel B'Torah B'Lailo, a beacon of light shines from the Aragonos and shines upon him. And that Keren Or is the Kiyum of the world. So even after we said goodbye to Lamed Vav Neiras Chanukah, we are left with Lamed Vav Masechtas, and we are left with the nights, the long winter nights, and we are left with ourselves. So we still could benefit from the Aragonos long after we lit the eighth candle of Chanukah. We could benefit, we could enjoy the unbelievable beauty of the Aragonos by Amal HaTorah B'Leilot Yerotzen Shiechelkenu Emohim. And in the schus of the Aragonos we should be zeicha she'or alavona tiye ka'or hachamo ve'or hachamo ka'or shivas yimei bereishis. We should be zeicha to the revelation of the Aragonos, and we should see the Kohen Gadol bebeis hamikdash meitev umadlik es haneiros bebias moshiach tzidkenu b'mheiro v'yomeinu amen.